I thought he was out in the audience. You know, how many have enjoyed the messages this week?
Hallelujah!
Oh yeah, I've been sitting here getting blessed morning, noon, and night, and you know, God is good
all the time.
Well, let's just ask Him to bless this evening's message as well, because I'm just one beggar trying to tell another beggar where to find some bread. Father, we thank You for, You know that, Lord, we come here, Lord, to lift You up, Lord, to worship You and to honor You and praise You and all that You are. And each one of us, Lord, is our Lord and Savior. And yet, Lord, we don't really comprehend the fullness of that as yet, but, Lord, we see through a dark veil, Lord, one that it's not clear to us all yet, but, Lord, we know there's a day coming when it'll all be unveiled, and we'll be able to see You face to face. Lord, now, Lord, we ask You to move some of that veil away today, Lord, as I speak, and, Lord, as You reveal Yourself in the words that You've given to us, and make them plain, Lord, so that we'll be able to adapt them in our lives, and, Lord, and walk in the truth that You alone can give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, folks, you know, the two themes that are in this heresy that was in Colossae were the one of philosophy, which was, you know, as Brother Mike said, called Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism was a word that was derived from the word Sappho and Gnosis. And it also, we have that terminology in our universities today. Every time you hear somebody called a sophomore, it has the same meaning. They're there to get to know what the establishment has to offer. And how many know there's a lot of that going on today? That you can succeed if you have all the knowledge that you need to be fluent in some field or another. And that you'll be able to make it in this world and achieve your goals. But do we know that that will get you where God wants you to be? No, because you could be totally off course using the world's wisdom and knowing that, you know, your aims, for one thing, if they're not in line with God's will, are going to be whose aims? Where are they going to come from? They're going to come from your Adamic nature, the one that you were born with. And how many know that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity? And that you can't take something that is not working and make it run the way it should by using the same material that it was made with, because it was defective to start with. You know, you just can't turn it around. It's not possible. It's not going to, you know, arrive where it needs to be, trying to run on a dilapidated engine or a faulty mechanism. And that's something that the world hasn't been able to find out. They can't find out what God has in store for them, what He's made so plain and simple through the power of the gospel. The word tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Now, the world doesn't want to acknowledge that they need a Savior. You're not going to go looking for something that you don't think you need. But you know that? That's in fact, I spoke to a man the other day and told him I was a Christian, born again Christian. Oh, I'm going to university and learn about world religions. The terminology was right, because what the world has is a religion. They don't have a relationship. They're never going to have a relationship through world religions. Because the Bible tells me that the world is at an enmity with God. Mm-hmm. That they're not looking to find Him. He's looking to find them, but they're still going their own way. Mm-hmm. And that the only way philosophy is ever going to get right on track is to be philosophical with God's Word and learn how He speaks and how He relates to us and how He's done what's necessary to make it valid. Now, in Colossae, they had these folks standing around all day long. Every time they turn around, they're trying to think up some new philosophy. Does that sound anything like what's going on today?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's thinking that whatever I do is going to work for me, and don't bother me now because I'm in my own world, and I don't want you to intrude. As long as you stay where you're at and let me go my way, then we can get along. And they call that love. Mm-hmm. They call I can love you if you just let me alone. I hope nobody feels that way in here tonight, because God's told us that he's brought us together so that we become one. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 14 or 17, I'm sorry, in 17, let them be one as we are one. Now, if he thought enough of us to include us in his family, then, hey, why wouldn't I want to include somebody else as well? I'm not against what the world is out there doing in the sense that they don't know their way. Somebody has to go out there and tell them. Amen. Somebody has to let them know that, hey, that's not the way. God's already prepared a way for you. And you'd be surprised. They're hungry. Do you know they're hungry? Mm-hmm. They know they're starving to death, but they're still reaching for that food that doesn't satisfy. And in the Word of God, it tells us, let no man cheat you of, let me read it. You know what, that's why I keep this thing in my ear, because my mind is sometimes not as good as my memory. let no one cheat you. Here we go. So let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance of Christ. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, we saw God institute a system in working with the Jews that included food, drink, festivals, new moons, Sabbaths, and all of these things were to teach them how to relate to him. And yet, we know that when he fulfilled the work that was necessary for each one of us to come into a right relationship with him, he set those things aside. They were no longer necessary. But yet, we have people today within the church saying, you can't eat this, or you can't eat that, or that's not going to be acceptable because God is... doesn't want you to have a piece of pork. How many in here like some pork? Yeah. I love my ribs. I want to tell you, ain't nothing like a good side of ribs with some barbecue sauce on. But you know what? If I take those same ribs and I treat them as though there's some religious aspect to them that's going to make me more holy because I don't eat them or I abstain from them, then now I put some meaning into them that was never intended. God didn't keep them from eating pork because it was just because it wasn't one of the cleanest animals, but in using that animal that wasn't clean, it set an example between good and evil. And, you might live a little longer if you don't eat some pork, but I don't know if I'm going to live forever, why worry about it? You know what I mean? I figure I can enjoy some of this life too. And the same thing's true of drink. God told him, wine is a mocker. And strong drink is raging. It doesn't mean that, folks can't take a glass of wine and have it if they want it with their dinner. It just means that you have to use moderation. And what did that wine symbolize? It symbolized the very essence of his sacrifice for us through his blood that was shed. And we know that today. They had that as a symbol in their relationship with him, but they never got the message. It never really sunk in what he was telling them. And you know what? Folks will tell you today, one thing or the other. You have to either drink the wine, they go to the communion table and say, well, if you don't drink the wine, you really haven't got the essence of it. But there were four different kinds of wine back in that day. Anything from grape juice on up, depending on how much they let it sediment, and settle and ferment. And yet, everybody wants to think that they were all drunks. No, they weren't. Jesus didn't tell them to go around and get drunk. They drank wine because water in that day was scarce in the sense of being purified, and they had very little opportunity to do anything about it because they didn't have the resources we have today. So they drank a lot of grape juice in one variety or another. But it didn't make them any holier. It didn't, you know, those things were not meant to be a way to get to your relationship with God right. They were meant to teach us some of the things that we needed to know as people on how to relate to what he was doing throughout the course of humanity. And all of those are good lessons even for us today, because we see them and we see how the people reacted to them, and yet it did not occur to them that this was something that was given to them as a means of teaching them how to relate to the essence of his relationship with them through natural means that they could understand. How many know we have a little better understanding today?
Amen.
Why? Because he's come in the fullness of his revelation through his son, Jesus Christ. And there is no greater revelation that's ever going to be revealed to man. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
You're not going to see any more of God in this earth than you what we see in the pages of the gospel revealing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And that was the full revelation that he gave to each one of us as we came to know him. You didn't come to know God just because somebody else told you that he was Savior. He had to open your eyes of your understanding so that you could understand it in your heart and make that a reality in your life by saying, come into my life, Lord. Nobody ever converted you to be a Christian except the Spirit of God. You know, people tell me that all the time. You can't convert me. I'm not trying. I'm telling you what God has to say about it, and it's up to you to make up your mind whether you want to be or not. There's a lot of wannabes in this world, but they want to be the wrong thing. They don't want to be what God wants them to be. And, you know, and look at all the festivals that we find going on today. You know, it's not only in the world, but we have them in the church, too. We've got the Pastor's Day. We've got the Church Mother's Day. We've got the Church Anniversary Day. We've got the... you name it, they've got a day for it. And that doesn't mean that church is any more holier than the one down the street from it that just gets in there on Sunday morning, gives the Lord a couple hours of worship and praise, and goes on about their business through the rest of the week serving him. Because God's not, taking note of our attitude as far as festivals and holy days and all. Every day is holy.
Amen.
God made every day. And how we relate to him is going to depend on how we see the day. If I'm having my mind focused on what he wants to do with my life, and I hope you do too, then you're going to see it as being a holy day.
Mm-hmm.
And do we celebrate a Christmas day because we know his birthday? No, nobody can tell us in here what his birthday was. We know that he came into this world on a particular day, and we know that... Hey, that is a point in time that we acknowledge as being one that is special, because before that, man really didn't have any hope. You know that the Old Testament closes with the threat of a curse being given to mankind, and the New Testament opens with the hope of God delivering mankind from his sin, and that's proclaimed in his birth. His mother even proclaimed that she acknowledged him as her Lord and Savior. And so, you know, if she could do that, I certainly know that each one of us can, because we have the full testimony of God's word to look back on. And a lot of times I think we think, well, why didn't they see more of it than we do? Well, they really didn't have what was necessary to get to that place where they could be infilled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was only coming upon man, not dwelling in him. And it was a continual battle with that old nature. You know, how many still having that battle?
Yeah.
You know, And if you're not, you're lying to yourself. I'm here to tell you. Because you know what? I thought about, what I used to do when I was a youngster. You know, they tell me to walk up the street with my hands folded with a white suit on. And we're going to give you your first communion and all. And I thought, man, you know, something wrong with this. I said, I don't feel any better. I know as on Sunday morning, I was running around trying to get money out of the box where the papers were so I could go play the pinball machine. And I didn't feel any holier, you know. And I realized at a very young age that there was something wrong in here that God had to rectify. And it wasn't until I got to be 13 that he was able to do that. And he did it by letting me hear the message of the cross. And it made me aware that there was something separating me from him, and it was my sin. And that, you know, that's something that has to happen in every human heart. The only way you're going to know God's will is that you know that you are a sinner, that you're distanced from him by your sin, and that you can't do anything about it. The world was trying to fix it one way or another, but they've got their philosophy, and it's all messed up. It's not about acknowledging their condition and humbling their hearts and saying, Lord, come into my life and make me whole. It's about, let's see what we can do to achieve a little step in technology that might gain us a little more advantage over the earth. God gave man the dominion over the earth, but how many know he can't control it today? He hasn't got the ability because he's working with defective material. God put a curse on this earth. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I don't care what you do or what you use. It's not going to be perfect because he wouldn't leave you in this world in a perfect state with all the sin in your heart that you could develop all the problems you want in a perfect environment. That would not be a blessing. That would be a curse for real, because you would never seek the Lord if you could get everything out of your natural life that you wanted, because you would never look for him in the bargain. And he knew what he was doing. That was the first blessing he gave man when he told them, you know, you're getting out of here, and to paraphrase, because I'm not going to let you stay in this environment and mess it up. We're doing a pretty good job of that anyway, right? Yes, but, you know, new moons. Man has the ability to look up at the sky and imagine that there's something special out there that's not here on Earth. I don't know what, they've been spending billions of dollars for the last 50 or 60 years now trying to find out what it is, when all they have to do is get on their knees and look up. You know that? And God will answer from heaven. And he's willing to answer in a way that will give you a life that you can't imagine. You know what? I was talking to Brother Jack the other day, just telling him some of the things that happened on the way down here. And I enjoy getting up in the morning. I don't enjoy some of the pains I got in my knees or whatever, but you know, life is exciting. And you don't have to run around, hands in the air, acting like you're a clown or something, but God, if you're walking with the Lord, life is exciting. Yeah. It's worth living.
Yes, it is.
Because he's sovereign. Because he's on the throne. And he is the one who's going to guide and lead you every day that you get up and open your eyes. And whether it's no further than the side of the bed, all you can do is get off and say, Lord, help me to get off of this floor. As long as he's with you, You know that life is worth living.
Amen.
Because he's got your life in his hands. And, I talk about Sabbath. Who knows what the Sabbath really is all about? Do you know what the Sabbath rest is? Who is the Sabbath rest? Jesus. The Sabbath was fulfilled in Christ. All of these things, it says, are a shadow of things to come. Now, they were a shadow of things to come for the Jews as well, because they were pointing towards Christ. They're a shadow of things to come for us, because they're pointing to his return when you and I will see him face to face and see the fullness of all that they had and meant to those that went on before us. And, I'm looking forward to that day. I know if you're getting older, you realize it's getting closer, don't you? I hope you do, because it's coming. And you might as well get ready and keep your attitude right, because once you've been saved, do you know you can't get out of God's will?
Yeah.
If you're God's child, you can't get out of his will. You may be able to do some things that make it a little harder for you to walk in this world, but if you're in God's family, there's no way you can undo what he intends to do in your life. It, the word tells me we're more than overcomers through Christ who strengthens us. And, I've made a few sidesteps there, and he's, just nudged me a little bit, and I said, oh, that pains. But I had to get back on track. And that happens to us. How many know that sometimes we have those old thoughts coming through our heads, maybe I ought to do this, that way instead of listening to what the word says, because that would make it work quicker, and I'd be able to achieve what I need right now. I found out right now is not necessarily the best way, because if it's not what God intended, you're just going to have to do it over again. Some of us do it more than once, twice, maybe three times. I hope no more than that, because you get kicked around a bit there in that woodshed, and my father used to take me there quite frequently. and I got to the point where you can't hurt me anymore, because I was starting to get a little bit of hardness to it, And when you get hard-headed with the Lord, man, you're really asking for him to say, set you down, But he will, because he said what? He loves us, and he chastens those that he loves. So if you think you're going to do it your way, forget it. I'm telling you tonight, forget it. Just find out what he says in his book and go for it. Because he said he wants to knit us together. Your joint, there's another joint over there. And we're going to be called a body. But you can't have a disjointed body and have it work well. You've got to have a body that is, the arms are connected to the elbows and shoulders connected to the arm, and I got 10 toes on my foot, and they're connected to a foot down there. I don't see them very often, but I know they're down there. And I'm telling you, they all work together, some fashion. Some of them work better than others, but they get me around, and that's the main thing. The body of Christ is going to work the same way that God intends that it be a body that's going to be whole and without a blemish, that we're going to be able to see him in his holiness, not ours, because when we see him, he's going to reveal his glory in us. You don't have any glory to take to him. He's going to give you his glory, and he's going to reveal himself in his righteousness, and it's going to be, it's been imputed to us, but we're now going to be able to see ourselves as he sees us, perfect, without a blemish, without a fault, without anything that would detract, because you can't take your old self to the throne room of God and say, Lord, I brought this little habit I got along with me. I thought you'd excuse that one, because it was one that was, kind of hung around, and I figured I'd see if I could let it sit on my shoulder for a while long. No, it's not going there. He's not going to let you bring it there. He said he paid it all. And when he paid it all, he took it away. He nailed it to the cross. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There's no sin in heaven. There's nobody up there trying to, reorder things. In fact, the one who tried that, what did he do? He lost his job. Yeah, he's running around growling, talking about, trying to devour people without any teeth. He don't have any teeth. The Lord took his teeth away. In fact, I feel sorry for him, because I had to just buy a new set. But That's the way the world is. The world is, becoming an adversary to God's people, too, today. You know that? Mm-hmm. That if you feel like Christianity has been overlooked here in America, don't worry. The devil's getting around to finding his way into the areas where he can affect the Christian realm today. Anybody that's standing up for Christ, you're going to have to stand on God's word and in the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Because there's nothing else that's going to win the victory for us. We can't do it with the world's means, you know. They say, just be a little humble and, take things on the cheek. Hey, look, God's son was humble. They beat him. They scourged him. They took and put him on a cross. And he didn't revile any one of them. But he did say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And his word tells us that God does not overlook the persecution and trials that we go through in this world. That it's better that for one of these little ones that believe in me, that if you offend them, that you take a millstone and hang it around your neck and drop yourself in the sea. That's what the word says. And I feel sorry for the folks because they don't realize who they're messing with. And I don't want to see anybody in my family thrown overboard with a millstone hung around his neck. But I know that's the best part that could happen to them if they're outside of Christ. If they don't know the Lord, what they're facing is what Jesus said was weeping and gnashing of teeth, total darkness. The world's got the idea that Satan is running around with a pitchfork down there in a lake of fire, you know, and everybody's jumping up and down because he's sticking them with it, you know. But they do. That's the kind of movies they make, you know. But the word tells us it's total darkness. Darkness that can be felt. And there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to see any of my loved ones there. You know, I don't want them to go there because it's not God's will. God did not create the lake of fire for mankind. It was created for the devil and his angels. The reason it's getting bigger is because man's forcing his way into it. Because God's already made the way for each one of us to have a right relationship with him. Do you know the sin of the worst sinner was paid for at Calvary? Whether they receive it or not, it's already was taken care of. The bottom line is, you got to say yes, Lord, yes to his will and to his way. You can't change it and make it your own. And Hitler or Stalin or all of those tyrants that have come down through history could be in heaven today if they'd have said, yes, Lord, yes, to Jesus Christ, and asked for forgiveness of their sin. And what is the one sin that God cannot forgive? We always hear people talking about, unbelief. God cannot forgive unbelief because it challenges his very will. It says, I don't believe that you're who you say you are. I don't believe that you can do what you say you will, and I don't believe what you've given me as a testimony of what is right there in front of my nose so that I can apprehend it. And yet, man keeps going down that road day by day. And guess what? There's a body that's being knit together. We're a part of it. And you know what? Some of you say, well, no, my body's not so knit together anymore, but, I feel like maybe there's some things coming apart. Well, in the physical realm, that may be true. But what's happening on the outside doesn't reveal what God's doing on the inside. When we're going through those things, he's still working in us to bring us closer to him. And in the same token, we have to interact with one another. Why do we pray for one another? Why do we console one another or comfort one another? In those times of trouble is when we become aware that we need one another, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. If we didn't, we'd just say, well, you're all right. I'll see you later. I'm going to go do what I want to do. But God put us together as a family, so that we can build one another up, encourage one another, make a, you know, life a little more enjoyable, because I know that, hey, I got somebody that's caring about me and is willing to help me through this time of trouble, you know? And yet, all of those things don't end up being the focus of our life. Because who are we to keep our eyes on?
Jesus.
And if, you know, you want to know how to find God's will, look at Jesus. If you read the Gospels and take into account how he lived his life on this earth, I mean, where did he go build his first apartment complex? You know, I don't know. where did he invest in the stock market? Or did he go down and say, hey, look, let's get involved with the temple reconstruction. We can, put some money in the treasury that'll help make it bigger. What did he say? This place is coming down, and I'm going to raise it up again in 3 days. And they said, how can you do that? It's been 46 years in the building. But he didn't have to take one stone down. The Romans did it for him. And he built it up in 3 days because he got up out of the grave and proclaimed victory over death and sin.
Glory.
And you know, God's work is always going to be on top. He's willing to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or expect. And I'm telling you, the Word tells us to keep our focus on things above. Those things on this earth are but passing through the course of time. And I wouldn't want to hold on to them anyway. I know, you know, the shirt I got on, it's going to wear out one day. Somebody's moth's going to eat a hole in it or do something with it, and I won't want it no more. But what God has prepared for those that love him, we can't really imagine at this point. You know, it's not within our natural minds to, but God's willing to reveal himself to you as you walk with him, and he'll teach you how to relate to him as you talk to him, and he'll let you know that he's there with you as you call upon him, and he'll say, stay close, children, because I'm coming back soon. And I know he's coming because I look around this world, and it tells me in the Word, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of his return. And like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's getting that way more and more as we live out our lives. These are things that he's already told us. And, you know, I want you and I to be about our Father's business. I want you to know that every soul that you speak to, and let them know that God loves them, and that you can share the love that he's given to you, is a way of, you know, focusing on him, because that's what he came to this earth to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you do that, you're going to be in God's will.
Yes.
Now, with that, I want to tell you a little story. Some folks, you know, let me say this. 5 years ago, I was sitting back there in one of the rows, and I had, just been appointed as a representative. And I went back to my wife, and she said, you know, somebody said that I would keep them laughing. I don't know what they meant by that, but I'm going to try it anyway. Now, my wife and I have been married for 13 years now. Praise the wonderful lady that she is in my life. And she's the center of my focus on this in this world as it comes to a relationship that is natural. And we're working it out. You know, I told her she leaves me, I'm going with her. Well, anyway, one of the things in riding paratransit or MTA, you know, Metro Transit Authority, we talked to the drivers a lot, and we had decided that we might have 3 children. Now, I know you're looking up here and saying, "Now there must be something wrong with him," but anyway. I got in a conversation with one of the drivers, and I said, what would you think would be a good name for, you know, any of our children there? And he says, I tell you. But he stopped right there and then, like, he was hesitant about what to say after that. And I said, what do you think? He says, I don't know. I said, well, what are you going to tell me if you don't? And then you turned around and tell me you don't know. And he said, well, he said, it's like this. When I look at the situation, all I can say is tenfold. I said, now. Yeah, I said, well, how's that going to help me name any of my children? He said, well, I told you the three names. I tell you, I don't know, tenfold. So, and we hear this all the time on Power Chances, you know. So I figured, well, I didn't know if it would work because, of course, the children haven't come yet. But but in closing, let me say this: that when we chose the theme of Stop, Look, and Listen, I thought about the safety that used to get on the corner when I was a child going to elementary school. And I always wanted to be one of those safeties. Because I looked out there, and you know, he's standing there with the stripe down across his, around his belly, and he's looking, you know, very important, like he's got the power of, you know, for to control what's going on that segment of earth there, right there on that corner. And you had to go out there, and he'd say, stop. And he said, don't cross there until I tell you. And then he'd say, look to your left and look to your right. And, you know, he got in the habit of doing that. I'm glad I did now because when I look to the left, I still don't see anything. Well, I look to the right. but I do it anyway. Then he said, listen. Now, we have a problem today with listening because we have these cars that are have electric engines in them with batteries. And
they're too quiet.
You can't hear them. So I'm saying, Lord, you listen for me because I don't want to get run over one of these vehicles that's coming down the street. But it was a valid thing at the time that we were doing it because you had these 40s and 50s vehicles going around chugging, and or you know, making all kinds of noise, and you could hear them coming. But you know what? Now we have to not only stop what we've been doing and do what God wants us to do, so that we can get on track with where we're going. And I don't need another safety there. I already have a safety called the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's in my heart, yeah, and he's in my life, and I know that he's not going to lead me somewhere he doesn't want me to go. But I can't hear him if I'm not looking for him. And I look for him every morning because when I get up and put my feet on the floor, I say, good morning, Father. Yes, and if you are in the habit of doing that, make it a habit from here on. Amen. Because he will come and say good morning to you as well. Yeah. If you're listening, you got to listen too. Most of us want to reel off a quick prayer and say, I'll see you later, Lord. But no, you've got to listen to what he's saying. And we've been hearing this all week. And I'm going to say it again. It's in the book.
That's right.
It's in the book. Mm-hmm. It's in the book. It's, don't look around at what your neighbor's doing or what's going on down the street or what somebody else called you on the phone to tell you. Look in the book. It's right where to find the answers that God has for your life. And he will make it plain. He's not trying to hide it from you. He's not trying to keep it from you. He wants you to get to know him as just as deep a relationship as you're willing to go. And believe me, I'm looking for all of him. Because when I see him, I want him to say, well done now, good and faithful servant.
Yes, Lord.
That's the only comment I'm looking for him, because he's told me that's what he's going to say. To those that serve him, to those that love him, to those that follow him, to those that keep his word, that he's going to welcome us home with his arms open. When Stephen got there, he stood up and was waiting for him to come because he was willing to give his life for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing in this world living worth more than that. It's the only thing worth living for, really. Everything else you're going to leave behind. And if you think that you're going to take a trip somewhere, that you're going to be able to gather all that the world has to offer and that it's going to satisfy, forget it. It will not satisfy. The only one that can satisfy your heart is the one that made it, the one who's able to fill it with his presence and to give you the satisfaction of knowing that your life is secure in him. And if we could each do that, we could turn this world upside down. You know that? Jesus did it with 12. Hey, there's more than that in here. There's three times that in here today. And one of the things that, if you haven't noticed about me, all you got to start talking is defeatism, and I'm going to jump up because I don't believe God was ever defeated by anybody anywhere in doing anything that he was in. And it's not going to happen today either. He loves us, and he's going to see that we are able to accomplish what he intended, blind, crippled, or crazy. And that means that he'll be able to enable us, whatever the condition is, wherever we are, with what we have. You can't supply the resources. He has to. He is the resource. And I'm telling you, you need to let him make use of them today because we know that there's someone that needs to hear from each one of us. God bless you. Bruce, you want me to, you turned it off, huh? Here, catch.
I'm right here to get it.
Thank you, Dr. Enoch. Am I on? Okay, I didn't, there I go. Who knows? I don't know where I am. Anyway, another good message